Started.
There we go. Started.
I'll just make sure not to hit the single pen in my pocket. We should have got a picture before he took the others out. But knowing the story is even better. Oh yeah, this is my bold print. This is my italics pen. So, Luther Classical College, we are Lutheran, we are conservative, we are classical. So, we all know the first two. The third one might be a little new to some of you. And so, do you guys homeschool?
We're planning on it.
Okay, yeah. So, you'll know classical well enough. And I know you pretty much already do. So, we'll spend a little more time on classical. All right. So, there's four parts. The first two are a little longer. When we get to part three, it'll really start to roll along. I say that mostly for myself, because I'm like the kind of guy who likes to have an agenda in front of me. and I would be the type that would sort of start measuring part one and part two, and I'd say, this is going to go on until afternoon. So anyway, that's why I make that clear. Don't electrocute yourself. Just promise me that, okay? Look at this. This is made for me. Yeah. It won't bother me, by the way. All right. So, the first part is the challenge. Where did our common sense go? When was the last time? I don't know how you get the news, the daily news, whether it's from, I'm a boomer, so I watch cable TV. You might get it on the internet or even a newspaper. Some people still get newspapers. When was the last time you got the evening news and you simply shook your head in disgust? It was the last time you got the daily news. Yeah, it's that bad. Well, a big part of that, that disgust that we feel today, is because we lost the classical curriculum in higher education. And so through the 60s, for sure by the 70s, we lost higher education in this country. That actually started at the turn of the century, around 1900, an American philosopher by the name of John Dewey is the one who actually kind of rewrote education philosophy. And I might talk a little bit more about that later. I see these four eyes just paying rapt attention, which is great. When I was doing Lutherans in Africa, I could say, oh, and there's going to be pictures of giraffes and zebras, but not with Luther Classical College, unless there are a few pictures of the students, which might qualify. All right, so the evening news is a reflection of our culture. Good morning. Sadly, and it is not a positive reflection. So, we're going to talk about five problems in colleges and universities today and the solution at Luther Classical College. First of all, of course, is moral relativism. There are no moral absolutes in our culture today. And
They aren't recognized.
Exactly. Like at Faith Lutheran, we have moral absolutes because we got them from God. Yeah. Good point. At Luther Classical College, of course, we're going to have a biblical moral foundation, which you still have in most Christian colleges. And I'm happy to say I'll have a few critical things to say about our Concordia system. But I can tell you this, the theological profs from top to bottom of every one of our Concordias are rock solid and confessional and conservative and liturgical. So that's a good thing. Second problem. I'm actually on this trip because we are headed down to San Luis Obispo, California, where I'm going to speak at the Reformation Conference this coming Saturday. It seems like a month from now, doesn't it? Yeah, because we're stopping at a million places in between. I did this presentation there last February, and Pastor, what's his name? Von Schmidt. Yeah, Pastor Von Schmidt said, hey, would you mind doing our Reformation conference? I said, I would love to. Twist my arm and I'll go to Central California in the early winter, late fall. So I'm speaking on beauty in the eye of the beholder. So most of these things I'll talk about today, we as conservative Lutherans we endorse good conservative Lutheran notions. Beauty in the eye of the beholder, many of us have fallen for that. I'm an artist, so my wife and I own and operate an art gallery on the beach in the state of Washington. And so art is very close to me. I'm very interested in it. Beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. To say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder is to say that I'm responsible for creating the notion of beauty, and I get to invent my own notion of beauty. That's not true. The title of my presentation down in San Luis Obispo is Beauty Strikes the Eye of the Beholder. Beauty is outside of us, just like moral absolutes. They are outside of us. I don't get to determine what is morality. I don't get to determine what is true or false. I don't get to determine the rules of mathematics. We'll talk about that in a second. So beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. Instead, at Luther Classical College, beauty is grounded in the principles that are taken from God's creation. I had a high school art teacher who could teach anybody, even the notorious person, and this may be you, who says, I can't even draw a straight line with a ruler. He could take anybody and teach them how to do art and to do good art. Because it's good art is based upon the principles of beauty. Unity, difference, value changes, so forth and so on. So, next one. History and science reduced to subjective feelings. So this one we all know is a problem in our higher education today. Have any of you ever seen the news story which says, in such and such a community school district, they are now allowing the teaching of 2 + 2 = 5. I've heard this story off and on for the last 5 years. And so what it amounts to is, the liberal educators will say, this young man has grown up with privilege, and so we can expect him to understand math and that 2 + 2 must = 5, but this young boy has grown up without privilege, and if he wants to think that 2 + 2 = 5, then we're just going to have to let him do that and endorse that. That's social justice gone awry. So history and science in today's colleges and universities are reduced to subjective feelings. It's the same as beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Another way to look at this is the U.S. Constitution. There are two primary ways to read the U.S. Constitution. There is the way that you and I read it, which is called the originalist reading, which means our goal is to understand what the words on the page say. Okay? That's a lofty goal. It's not always easy. Sometimes it takes a lot of work, and there will be differences of opinion, but ultimately the words carry truth. But you see, in the modern college and university, ever since we have abandoned the classical curriculum, truth becomes subjective. I banned the word interpret from my vocabulary 20 years ago, and look at me, I'm still alive and healthy and taking on nourishment today. Okay? Instead of the word interpret, you see, our job is not to interpret the Bible. Who does the work in interpretation? I do. My job and our job is to understand the Bible. You see, that's passive. I'm going to mention this in the sermon today. This is what the Reformation is all about. Let the words on the page tell me what the truth is, because those words came from who? God. Yeah, it's God's word. All right. So the other way to read the Constitution today is the way higher education does and liberals, and that is it's a wax nose. You just bend it to however you want it, and you have to reinterpret the Constitution with every generation. Okay? So this is what the classical curriculum is. We are all about discovering facts about people and the world. So the classical curriculum is all about learning the facts that are out there in the world. It's a big, huge difference. Focus on career preparation and personal ambition. So you just found out your nephew is going to college. You have two questions for your nephew. The first question is, where are you going? What's the second question? What are you going to study? What's your major going to be? And embedded in that question, this is another place where we conservatives have kind of fallen into prey to the culture. What's embedded in that question is, and I'm going to take the long road to get to this answer, what was the greatest generation, what was their vow when they came back from war? My kids are going to have it better than me. Career preparation, personal ambition. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that becomes the focus of college, then college has gone awry. You know what the focus of college is? Not personal ambition. The focus of college is to learn how to think. And that's what the... which doesn't happen today. And that's what the classical curriculum guaranteed. It sounds a little boring because you don't have these fancy majors like women's study of the central plains of Africa. What's your major going to be? Where are you going to college? Oh, I'm going to University of Oregon. Oh, what's your major going to be? I'm going to be majoring in women's studies in the central plains of Africa. Oh, okay. You know, which, by the way, is the opposite of personal ambition, but it's done. It's done for personal ambition. So, at Luther Classical College, our focus is on Christian vocations of family, church, and society, and the education focus is on learning how to think. I'm a humanities major, which is basically classical education. We have a saying: we humanities majors. Humanities majors are the last to get hired and the first to be promoted. Why? Because we were taught how to think. While we were learning and reading and studying the best Western culture has to offer, we were learning how to think. One of the problems in colleges and universities today is they are subservient to government money. Luther Classical College is independent of government money. We won't take a single penny from the government ever. That's why I'm here, by the way, in Rogue River, is to get you to help us. Some problems in today's education. College years are among the most formative years. 30% of Christians fall away from the faith by age 30. So Luther Classical College is a Lutheran college for Lutherans. Our concordias are a mile wide and an inch deep. Luther Classical College is an inch wide and a mile deep. And it's only for Lutherans. Now, that sounds kind of exclusive. It's not. It's for the protection of our young and to keep them in a Lutheran culture. Student formation has an administrative focus today rather than a focus on real education. There has been an 85% rise in administrative positions in public education over the last 20 years. Over the same period, the student and teacher population have increased by only 8%. Now, what's that?
Even at our concordias.
Oh, big time. Yeah. So, our concordia has gotten really big because they've chased this model of personal ambition and growing the college with lots and lots of majors. We only offer one major at Luther Classical College. It's a BA. We also have a two-year degree, an AA. We only offer a degree in the arts and sciences. Okay, arts and letters. And so this is the classical education. I'll talk some more about that. So we're going to fine-tune. Oh, I was getting back to the Concordias. So at Mequon, about a year ago, all of a sudden, word starts going around and all these stuff on the internet where Concordia University Mequon hosted a worship service for Hinduism, celebrating like the Hindu, that would be like Hindu Reformation service, you know. It was one of their big spiritual events of the year. Well, what happened was the people in the Student Life Office are not Lutheran. They're certainly not Missouri Synod. They're certainly not Conservative Confessional. And their job is to create student life and to encourage it. So there's a ton of Hindus taking classes at Concordia Mequon. So they put together this Hindu thing. They thought it was just simply like a government, a cultural thing. But it was a Hindu worship service. And the next thing you know, people are getting painted with little all kinds of colored chalk, and it was crazy. Now, there was no one person to blame, but the system was to blame because we've gotten a mile wide and trying to be everything instead of just focusing on being Lutheran. 125 years ago, nearly 100% of teachers and students in our Lutheran schools were Lutheran. When I went to Concordia Seward, I think back to this, and I think I go through my mind and I think about every professor I took and even some of the professors I didn't take. Where were they on Sunday morning? They were across the street from the college at St. John's Lutheran Church in worship and Bible class with me. Well, let me put it this way, with my wife. I wasn't there all but every week, okay? I was enjoying a little freedom, which I would not be able to enjoy at Luther Classical College. Because at Luther Classical College, you are expected to go to church every Sunday. But again, our college has got so wide. Anyway, every one of my professors was there. Today, just 23% of students are Lutheran in our Lutheran schools. And that includes the elementary schools and the day schools. At our colleges, it's only 11%. So you have to ask yourself, can I really call myself a Lutheran college when only 11% of my students are Lutheran? And only 50% of the professors are Lutheran. My mother sent me to a Concordia Seward for two reasons. Number one is sitting right here, my wife. Number two, she expected I was going to be studying under Lutheran professors. Today, half of my classes would be taught by non-Lutherans, some of them by non-Christians.
That's not supposed to happen.
You can't ask a question, you know, if you have students getting student loans from the government, you can't ask the question of somebody, what religion are you, when you're hiring a professor. You can, by God's law is right. You are correct. Are you a graduate of Luther Classical College? No, okay. But you did go to the zoo in Seattle.
Yes, I did.
All right. More Lutheran challenges. We've lost three of our historic Lutheran colleges in the past 6 years. And people say, why are you starting a new college? We just lost three of our colleges. Maybe that's the point. Okay. We're limiting ourselves to 300 students because we want to remain parochial, a Lutheran college for Lutheran students. Overall percentage of Lutherans at LCMS colleges is just 11%. The growth in number of majors and special programs is proving difficult to maintain for colleges across America. So everybody, well, what happened to our colleges? We don't have colleges anymore. What do we have? Universities, because they wanted to grow bigger. The college presidents, and I've had this argument with them a couple of different times, some of them, they won't admit it, but the reason they grew bigger was for money. Yeah, it's obvious, duh, you know. It has hurt our colleges. Do you know there's a college closing once a week in America? 50 a year. Yeah. Because it's unmanageable. Imagine, this is one of my favorite slides. This is my second favorite slide. I'll tell you when I come to my favorite slide. Imagine a college where students learn to value marriage and family over career and money. If every college and university in America taught this, would we have a better country? You better believe we would. Is it the goal of the church to make a better country? No. But we shouldn't shy away from it. My generation of pastors were taught to shy away from the public square and the political scene. Your pastor's generation has been taught that's societal suicide. And again, we're not trying to change the world. We're preaching the gospel. But the gospel, it's okay to want your country, I don't care what country it is, to be led by Christian principles. That's okay. As a matter of fact, that's a good thing. All right. Imagine a college where students learn that men are men and women are women with beautiful God-given differences and roles. You don't have to imagine it because it's happening in Casper, Wyoming. We just got our first class of students this August. We got 38 pioneers. I call them pioneers because they enrolled at a college that did not exist until they set foot in August on campus for the first classes. They're pioneers. Yeah. Imagine a college where the students learn that the Lutheran Church has the greatest theology, the best hymns, and the most excellent music in the history of the world. Imagine a college where students learn that wokeism is bullying and socialism is theft. Okay? You'd never be able to say these words at our Concordias, but you can say them at Luther Classical College. As a matter of fact, this is not the main thing. The gospel is the main thing, but this is prominent. Okay? This is Luther Classical College, a college by Lutherans for Lutherans. Part two, responding to the challenge. Why do we exist? Our passion is for genuine Lutheran culture, excellent education, and investing in bold and faithful homes, churches, and communities. So the community part of it, and I stress this because it's just kind of new among Lutherans. I like to tell this imaginary story. And I tell it so vividly it doesn't seem imaginary. So I think I had it in one of those dreams. I take rosuvastatin every night, and it eliminates the thing. What's that nice comforting thing at night? I have dreams all night long, crazy dreams. Yeah, it's weird. It just started like 3 years ago when I started taking this stuff. It's not something that you would find. It's not a drug you would find at the University of Oregon. Okay, I'm just saying. All right. So what do? We educate Lutherans in the classical Lutheran tradition. You'll know more about that as we go on. Prepares them for godly vocations within family, church, and history. Oh, and society. I forgot the story. So somewhere in Nebraska, there is this young boy who knows that in a few years he's going to inherit the family farm. But that's going to be his career, and he loves it. He's happy for that. But he wants to get educated. So he goes to Luther Classical College, and he gets his 4-year degree in arts and letters, which includes rhetoric, by the way, which is the persuasion, to write and to speak persuasively. 10 years after that, he's now on the farm. There's a big blow-up in the community, some hot issue. The city council chambers are packed, and they're arguing over this issue. And he stands up, and he walks slowly to the microphone, and he speaks to the issue, and he convinces the entire crowd to vote rightly because he went to Luther Classical College and was trained in how to think and also trained in rhetoric, how to speak and to write. All right. We have, these are all of the classical education schools. There isn't one in Oregon. There isn't one in Washington. So we got to work on that. But it's growing. If you added to this the non-Lutheran ones, these are just Missouri Synod. If you added the non-Missouri Synod ones, you could multiply that by 10. If you added in the secular classical schools, so this is not just a Christian movement. There are secular people who have understood that we lost a lot when we lost the classical curriculum. If you added that in, you could then double that number. Okay? So the two hottest things in education these days are classical education and charter schools. Okay? What is classical Lutheran education? All right, so let's start to define this thing. It is the Bible and the catechism are essential for the classroom. Not just for the class, but each day in the classroom, our science professors, our philosophy professors, our art professors, and of course our theology professors are going to be using the Bible and the catechism as they teach. The trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Trivium is a fancy Latin word. Our students are required to know Latin. That's not a showstopper, because we do teach Latin in the summer, and we had a few students this year who took advantage of this. We have a Latin class in the summer to prepare them for the fall. Okay? So, the trivium, that's a fancy Latin word, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Three things, grammar, logic, rhetoric. You know them by a simpler trio. Say it with me, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. So, reading is grammar. Writing is rhetoric. Rhetoric is just basically taking a couple of speech classes and taking some writing classes. So most college graduates today have not had, I'd say 99% have not had a speech class. Probably 90% of them have not had a writing class. This is fundamental to the classical model. And then logic is actually math. I promise you this is the only time in the presentation that I will say the words Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris in this famous interview said, I love Venn diagrams. Oh, yeah. Okay? Venn diagrams you learn in geometry class, and it's basically logic. You have this set A, this set B, and where the two intersect, set C, those are the things that the two have in common. So that's geometry, it's logic, it's mathematics. Great books, reading the time-tested primary sources of Western culture, Shakespeare, the poets, the great literature. Reading, thinking, and speaking well to the glory of God. And the most enlightening of these five things is, this is the curriculum of Martin Luther and C.F.W. Walther. So, both Luther, who we're going to celebrate today, well, we're celebrating God working through Luther. Yeah, Luther and Walther both found themselves in situations where they could rewrite the education philosophy. So Luther, the boys come to him and they say, you're not going to like this, but there's a church forming based on your work. No, I don't want that. I'm a reformer. Well, it's happening. What are they calling themselves? Oh, you don't want to know. and so Luther was the head of this movement, and he could rewrite the curriculum at Wittenberg, University of Wittenberg, any way he wanted. You know what? He didn't. He kept using the classical curriculum, started with Plato and Aristotle, was formalized in the Middle Ages. He threw out the bad theology, but kept the curriculum. Walther. So Walther and the boys come over here from Germany. He's the founder of the Missouri Synod, because they were being persecuted by the state church in Germany. So they come over here, they move to Perry County, they form almost a commune, and all of a sudden they say, oh, we got to start a day school, a high school, a college, and a seminary. Oh, let's just turn to the state, because the state does that for us. Oh, wait a minute, that's why we came here, to be free from the state. So he could have done anything he wanted. You know what he did, even for the education curriculum? He chose the classical curriculum. So, we like to say we're doing a new old thing. It, like a pink pony, okay? All right. Our curriculum, the core objective, provide a common foundation in confessional Lutheran theology and the classical liberal arts tradition for all students. All students take the same courses that belong to the core program. Students have the option to select a track designed to prepare them for specific work after college. So we have an associate's degree where you can do the trade partnership track. So we are working hand in glove with Casper College. It's a technical college in Casper. They have 75 different license programs. So you could graduate with your two-year degree from Luther Classical and also have your license for doing HVAC or plumbing or being a pilot or any of other 75 programs. In the BA program, this is our traditional four-year program. There's the general track, there's the parish music track, the pre-seminary track, and the teacher certification track. You can also do the trade partnership track in the BA program. Okay? All right. So here are those trade connections. We also have a connection with Concordia University. If one of our teachers wants to be callable in the Synod, they can transfer their credits to Seward and take a few more classes and do that. The thing is, they're not going to want to be callable because classical education is growing by leaps and bounds. And so there's a shortage of classical teachers. All right. Part three, our people and places. One major, this just defies modern logic. But that modern logic is the logic that gave us universities that are a mile wide and an inch deep. We're going to max out at 300 students, 14 professors, 5 unique tracks, low annual tuition. Our tuition this year is $8,500. Room and board is $4,500. Find me a college for $13,000 for tuition and room and board. You won't be able to. And we've got 13 scenic acres. Ah, here's my favorite slide. So, these are quotes from applications from our first group of students. This is Grace in Wyoming. The Lutheran liberal arts are the true marriage of faith and reason, providing what my mind craves along with what my soul needs. So in this little box here, I have 30 years of my sermons. You could scour those 30 years of sermons. It might take you a couple of weeks. And by the way, I think it would be good for you. But if you scoured them, you would not find a single sentence that is this beautiful. That is such a beautiful sentence. Although Grace doesn't count because she's the daughter of our academic dean. But we've got even more. But wait, there's more. Logan from South Dakota. I desire to understand the roots of Western civilization and culture, to know the history of my fathers, and to examine their lives. And then he quotes Proverbs. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Kaylin says, man doesn't define what truth, goodness, and beauty are. God does. Without God as the center of education, these three things will ultimately be taught incorrectly. Wonderful. Hey, he's grown up to be like his father. He's got a pen in his mouth. And Frank from New Mexico, I got to meet Frank's parents down in Albuquerque when I was doing one of these presentations. He was gone for the summer at a Lutheran summer camp. Before I heard about LCC, I was planning to pursue a career in construction through an apprenticeship program. To me, LCC's trade partnership program with Casper College seemed like the perfect combination of classical Lutheran education and the option to go into a field of work that interests me. So that's really cool. Yeah. Now, before I go on, there is a little sign-up sheet back there. And if you sign up, you will receive... Oh, this is like a 3D presentation. you'll get our magazine, Christian Culture, every quarter. And then you'll get once a month a little one article, a little booklet called Ad Fontes, Back to the Sources. So if you want to, you can sign up there. And we're not big at soliciting, so you don't have to worry about that. We're not afraid to ask for money, but it's not going to be like a every month kind of thing. All right. Our professors, if you were to ask who's the one Lutheran who is read by more non-Lutherans than anybody else in the Christian world, it would be Gene Veith. And we're fortunate to have him as one of our professors. He's not going to be on campus. He's going to come for like 2 and 4 week sessions at a time. But nonetheless, any amount of Gene Veith is great. There's our campus. It's going to be built around a quad, one administrative building, 3 classrooms, and then 9 student houses. These are the Casper Mountains in the background. It's a very beautiful area. This house is built, and I'll show you that picture in a moment here. So we got a good start. That's an academic building. So those are those mountains. Here's our 13 acres without any building going on yet. And so then we started. This is now looking the other way. This is now looking north. the mountains would be back over here where we are. And there, that looks like an artist rendition, but that's the actual building. Yeah, it's very beautiful. We got in there in June. We opened the doors in August. And when Phyllis and I were there, the outside was not fancied up yet. But it was pretty impressive to walk through each of the rooms. So, dramatic water drink. Stop looking at me. Very obedient. So, it's going to take us about $25 to $50 million to build out our campus. God had some other plans in the meantime. So, this is an old Baptist church in Casper. It's about 6-7 minutes from the campus. And it went up for sale a few years ago. An entrepreneur bought it and turned it into a wedding chapel. And it didn't quite work out. So he was selling it again. We had a donor who had just moved to Casper, and he said, I'll give you the $1.5 million to buy this campus. Yeah. And what's really cool about it is you can't see much of it, but there's a full two-story education wing back here. I'll show you a couple more pictures. And so we got it for $1.25 million. He said, keep the other $250,000 for operations. So he's a very generous guy. This is the church. You can see the entrepreneur painted everything white, and he took every Christian symbol out of it. So we've had to like re-Christianize it because he wanted to have, you know, weddings for any faith. He could have... never mind. I was going to make a snarky remark about the Muslim thing up at Mequon. So there, that was good enough. Here are the classrooms. These aren't our students. Our students couldn't be this happy studying liberal arts. These are our students. Cargus is the one who makes them happy, man. He keeps them happy. Oh, and we've got these academic scarves, you know. So, and that, I asked my boss about when they took this picture, and he said, oh yeah, the kids were all saying, like, this is really nerdy.
I think Dr. Carter sourced them from the same place that makes the ones for Oxford and Cambridge.
I bet you. All right, finally, how can you support the college? No government money, period. Ever. Period. So we're not going to take a single penny from the government. Our Concordias have been very fortunate so far. There has not been a lot of interference from the government. But we don't want to take any chances. And obviously, it ain't getting better. So we've got over 230 congregations who are supporting us. I think this is actually Grants Pass. Yeah. You guys might have given a donation, maybe not. Anyway, so a supporting congregation is a congregation that agrees to put us in their budget. Could be for $100, you know, could be $500. This congregation here in Indiana, Zionsville, they give us $5,000 a year. So, and we have a couple congregations like that. Let's see. This is, I think, Gresham, and that is Chehalis. So, what's that?
Would that be Messiah up there?
Messiah, yep, Messiah. Oh, and then the other one is, next to Messiah, is Beautiful Savior in Milton. Yeah. All right. So, we would love for you to become a supporting congregation. These are our patrons. Phyllis and I are a patron. There's our little red dot right there. And so patrons give $10 a month or more. And again, that kind of steady, budgetable income is really helpful for us. So I hope you will become a patron. So you can pray for us. If you signed up, you subscribe for the free Christian Culture in Ad Fontes. You can become an emissary. I hope somebody in this room will become our emissary. How are we doing time-wise? Oh, we got 3 minutes. Yeah, is this one accurate? Okay. So, one of the coolest things happened yesterday morning at a Starbucks in Sutherland, Oregon. So we started this emissary program about 6 months ago. Our very first emissary was when I was doing this trip last February, was Sherry at St. John's, Sutherland, Oregon. Pastor Hoffman, Brandt. You can't call him Brandt. You have to call him Brandt. In Iowa, we would call him Brandt, but here he's Brandt. Anyway, so I got to think. I thought, well, we're driving through there. We might as well stop in and say hi to Sherry because we met her, 6 months ago. And so that was really cool. And we brought her some new material she didn't have yet. So all an emissary does, this right here, I'd really love to have one in Rogue River. All an emissary does is about an hour or two a month. And you just simply take some of the stuff that you get online from us and put it in the church bulletin. You could do a Minuteman talk. You don't have to get up and talk, but that's another possible way to communicate. Sherry does that about once every 2 months. And so it's like an hour a month. Or I also send out once a month a little Word document that's got some stuff you can put in your newsletter. It's taking some pressure off your pastor so that you become the communicator so he doesn't have to be. Because pastors have got 19,000 things to do. You can make a one-time gift. There is a trifold. Do we have any trifolds?
No, they're all in the
bulletin. Okay. All right, they're in the bulletin. So there's an envelope in there. You can mail that in. And while I'm walking around, you can also take one of these small catechisms if you would like. This is our gift for you. You become a patron. We talked about that. You can include Luther Classical College in your will, trust, or IRA distributions. Add LCC to your church's annual budget as a supporting congregation. I'll talk to Pastor later about the building campaign. So there you have it. You can go to our website, a lot more information. You can email me. If I wake up tomorrow morning and I've got a half a dozen emails from Rogue River, that will make my day. That will make my whole week, actually. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email me. My email is on the website, and Pastor also has it. So finally, here's my little rhetorical device. We end where we started. Luther Classical College, we are Lutheran, you know what that is. We are conservative, you know what that is. And now you know a little bit about what it means to be classical and how we are trying to rescue higher education in this country. Any questions or comments? Anybody have any questions or comments? Phyllis, can you invent a question? I'm just kidding. Time for another dramatic pause. You're looking at me again. Okay, very good. She turned away. She's covering her face in a small catechism. I wish I had that picture. All right, great. Yes, Pastor.
So you said no government funding. Where do VA assistance, where does that
come? Oh, that's a great question. So
someone has a
yep. I think VA is just fine. So I got that question in Columbia Falls, Montana, a year and a half ago, and I ran that past the cabinet at the college, and they hadn't thought about that either. But they said, well, we really don't have a formal policy on that, but that should not be any problem. Yeah, that's a great question.
I had two classmates in undergrad that were on VA assistance.
Yeah. So yep.
When you said no government funding, that was the first question.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. All right. So I will be preaching today, and I'll briefly mention the college in the sermon, but we'll mostly talk about God's Word. And so I'll be around if you have any questions that pop up. Thank you very much. Yes. Yay. Let's hear it for the college.
Recording?
Oh. There you go.